إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you not to relax just because we are in Ramadan. Because the thing to remember is that although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only levels the field for us, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually loads it in our favor by chaining the shayateen. That refers only to the freelancers and consultants. The shaitan who is with us, the qareen, is still with us. It's all the others who are chained and locked up and so on, and of course you can see the effect of that as well. But your and my personal shaitan is not locked up, he is there with us. And then there is another one which is generally more lethal than the shaitan, which is our nafs. And that is obviously there with us. And one of the ways that both of these work is that if they cannot actually prevent you from doing good, and if they cannot make you commit a sin, then they at least try to reduce the reward of what you do. They try to make you choose something of less reward compared to something of higher reward. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah said, we have created death and life, and we have created you so that we can test you to see which one of you will do the best deed. So if there are this best deed, أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, does not refer to choosing halal instead of haram. It refers to choosing the better of two good deeds. So it's assumed that you will not do haram. But given two good deeds, that you will choose the better one. Of course, some of this is related also to knowledge, because we should know which is better. But even where we have the knowledge, for example, we know perfectly well that salah in the masjid is worth, the reward of salah in the masjid is 27 times the reward of salah on your own, individually, in your home or office or wherever. But how many of us actually make an effort to go to the masjid? So it's not that we don't know. It's just that we don't want to make the effort. We don't make the choice. We fall into the trap of shaitan and nafs. So this is what shaitan does. He, where he cannot make you commit a sin, he will make you do something which is of less value. So he can't make you he can't stop you from praying. So he will tell you that, you know, let's pray at home. What does it matter? It's okay. So you pray at home, you get the reward of one salah and you lose the reward of 27 salawats. He cannot make you stop fasting. He can't make you eat. So what does he do? In your fast, he makes you lose your temper. So you curse somebody, he makes you do ghibat. Now many of the ulama, definitely ulama of the Zahiri Mazhab, like Ibn al-Hazm and Imam al-Awza'i and others, and also many of the a'imma of the other madhahib, they are of the opinion that ghibat actually breaks your fast. If you do ghibat in your fasting, it actually breaks your fast, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called ghibat eating the flesh of your dead brother. So obviously if you are eating somebody's flesh, you know, not only is it haram, but it also breaks your fast. But irrespective of that, as we know from the hadith of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said that if you cannot control your tongue, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you cannot stop lying and you cannot stop slandering and doing these things, then Allah is not in need of your fasting. So shaitan cannot stop you from fasting, but he reduces or nullifies the reward of the fasting. Shaitan cannot stop you from giving charity, but then he will tempt you to tell people about this. I gave this much here, I gave that much there. So now you gave the charity, but he puts you into riya, so the reward of charity is gone. He cannot stop you from reading Quran, but he will make you read Quran in a way where now you want to read Quran to show others. So similarly, other things, and think about it for yourself. I don't want to make a whole long list of things. But the point is that this is a very big danger which we need to be very careful about. Because one is to do good deeds. The other one is to preserve them. It's like earning money. So one is to have a good job, have a good business and so on, and make enough money. So you want to be rich, you want to be wealthy, you make money. But the second thing also is to guard this money, to preserve this money. So if you make a lot of money, if you have the, you know, a bundle of notes in your pocket and you go into the marketplace and then somebody picks your pocket. So even though you are a wealthy person in the sense of how much you make, but then when you put your hand in the pocket, you are a destitute person because the money is gone. Or there was a hole in your pocket and it fell off. Or some other thing happened. Or you lost it in the share market or whatever you did. So the point is, one is to make the money and the other one is to hang on to it. To hold it so that when you need it, it is there for you. The same thing with the deeds. One is to do the good deeds. And we all know how easy or how difficult that is. So one is to do those deeds. And second thing is to hang on to them. Is to keep them. Like yesterday, one of our dear friends, he came after Taraweeh and he came and he hugged me and he said, "I want to apologize to you." So I said, "What happened? As far as I knew, you did not do anything. Why are you apologizing?" He said, no, but the other day I mentioned you somewhere and maybe it was Rewat, so I want to apologize to you so that, you know, I don't lose the reward." So I said, no, please, I want you to do as much Rewat as possible because I want all your deeds. So I said, "I want all your good deeds. Why will I stop you when I'm getting free deeds somewhere?" He says, "You also do ghibat and please invite everybody else to make ghibat about me because I can do with all the free good deeds I can get. Why should I stop you?" But alhamdulillah, good for him. You know, he did this, which is that you go and apologize to somebody that you, even if you did something unknowingly, maybe it was not even ghibat for all, you know, but you know, you make sure that you at least close that door. If there is a hole there, stitch it up. So the key thing is to preserve the deeds also. So one is not allow shaitan to reduce the value of the deed that we do. And secondly, is to do good and make sure it remains in our account. Because till we die, we do not know how much remained. We may have done a lot, and we know the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about this. And I've mentioned this hadith many times. I'll briefly mention it here in case you need the reminder, and definitely all of us need reminders. Where Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam once asked the people, he said, "Who are the destitute people? Who are the poorest of the poor?" And they said, "Ya Rasulullah, somebody who does not have dinar or dirham, he has no money." And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "No." He said, "The destitute, the poorest of the poor are those people who will come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with good deeds, the size of the mountain of Uhud." Huge, massive good deeds. But when they are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people will come. And they will say, "Ya Rabbal Alameen, this man harmed me in this way. He cursed me, he slandered me, he beat me, he killed me, he assassinated my character, he stole my money, property, what not. So he said, there will be a long line of people who will come and they will claim justice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. And on the day of judgment, the only currency is deeds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take from that mountain of Uhud the worth of good deeds and give to these people. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, until that entire stockpile of good deeds is completely finished, but the line of people will still not be finished. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu will ask, and Allah knows, but He will ask for the sake of establishing this matter. He will tell them, "The good deeds are gone. Now what do you want me to do?" And the people will say, "Ya Rabbal Alameen, give our evil deeds to this man or the woman." And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the person will go into the hellfire carrying the evil deeds of somebody else. So somebody else does not mean that he is carrying evil deeds which is injustice. Because Allah said, "La taziru waziratan wizra ukhra." You will not carry the weight of somebody else. But here somebody else means that those are evil deeds you earned. They are yours because of the injustice you did to the other person. That evil becomes yours. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, they will take that evil and they will go into the hellfire. Now, how pathetic is that? You do all the good and then in the end you end up in the hellfire because of the evil which cancelled out all the good and it remained. I still remember when I first read and heard this hadith, I used to always think to myself that how can anyone do so much evil? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not say there is only one person like that. No, one can imagine one person, okay, so and so. But I am saying, how can someone do so much evil that a mountain worth of good is gone and then the person actually goes into the hellfire with this much of evil? How is this possible? Until one day I realized, write one email slandering somebody on the internet and that one email is enough to take you into the hellfire because that email has got eternal life. That will be floating around in the world 50 years after you are dead. And everyone who reads that email is one more man or woman in that line. Because you got slandered with them. So this technology of ours today and all these WhatsApp messages and this and this and this, depending on what you are sending out, can be a means of taking you into the hellfire. So be very careful about that. Don't start this Azabul Jariyah for yourself. You know, think about Thawabul Jariyah, not Azabul Jariyah. That's something which will continue to bring fire into your cover long after you are gone. We want the cool breeze of Jannah in our cover. We don't want Jahannam in our cover. So very important for us to remember this. Make sure we pick the best deed, not the less, the one which has less value. And make sure that we take care of the deeds that we do, so that we don't lose them before we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.